Anyhow, tonight we are going to look at Isaiah 9:6. And it's a great passage. It's one that many of you have probably heard sung if you've ever heard the Messiah. The passage reads, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful." Hey, aren't you looking for wonderful? "His name shall be called Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." That's who we're celebrating tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so before we begin the message, let's go to the guest of honor, the one that we're celebrating, and invite his presence here. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time to gather into this place. I thank you for these precious people that you have brought here tonight. And Lord, I pray for your blessing upon each one. I pray, Lord, that as we continue, Lord, in an attitude of worship, Lord, that you would fill our hearts with wonder. God, that you would speak to us by your Spirit. Lord, you know the needs. You know the struggles. There's people here in our midst that, Lord, some are joyous and celebrating. There are others that are hurting deeply. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each one, Lord, through your word. And God, I pray if there's any here that don't know you, Father, that you would draw them to yourself by your Spirit. And we'll give you the thanks for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you turn around to the camera and wave to the 60, you know, people, and welcome to those of you in the overflow. They're over there in the other building. They got a big screen, though, and everything. And so we're glad you're here. Even though you're not here, you're here in a sense, right? So, listen, here in our text, what we have before us is, well, the names are the names of Jesus, this child that was born. Interesting, when you look at the context here of this passage, it begins in the earlier part of chapter 9, and it says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine." He goes on to say, "For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army in Midian." It was a dark time when Isaiah scrawled these words. It was a difficult days. And guess what? It was getting darker. It's interesting here in this text that it talks about them walking in darkness, when Matthew or Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 4 quotes this text. He says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light." You know what? As time passed, it got darker, where they couldn't walk anymore. They were just sitting. We are living in difficult days. We look at our nation and we see the turmoil that's growing. You see, we look at our world and we see the crises that are, you know, looming. Not only in terrorism and wars, but a disease. And you look at things, and while things are, I'm not going to say that everything's bad. You know what? How are we going to fix what is? How are we going to deal with the issue of terrorism? How are we going to deal with it even in our own land? We have battles going on and people killing each other and craziness in the sense of a father killing himself or his family and then himself, a mother turning the gun on her children. What is going on? The politicians say guns are the problem. Hey, newsflash, guns have been around for years. Okay? And this stuff wasn't going on. The problem is men's hearts. So you ask, where's the hope? What do? When we watch the news and we look at what's going on? Well, you see here in our text, it is into this time that the writer Isaiah says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders." Boy, we need a good governor, man. We need a solid guy to lead, right? And I'm not on any political bent and not favoring one party over another. I'm just saying that all the men that we elect, while they do some good, guess what? They have their problems, and nobody seems to be able to solve what's going on. We hear about the gridlock in Congress, the government. Man, it's just things are a mess. You see, it's into that situation that this one is born, Jesus Christ. At a very dark time in history, you see, he was born. And he is the one who, he speaks of a coming day that he will govern and rule the world. What kind of a ruler, what kind of a governor will he be? Well, all those things, or the way he would be and the things that mark his character, is what is spoken of here in his name. Names mean something, especially in the scripture. The children were often named for, what they were like or what the parents hoped for. And here we have Jesus, this child that was born. His name is called Wonderful. You know what? That takes care of the dullness of life. His name is Counselor. That deals with the decisions in life. His name is Mighty God, which deals with the demands of life. Everlasting Father, dealing with the future. It's certain. It's okay. And the Prince, who brings peace, that takes care of the disturbances of life. But let's begin. His name shall be called Wonderful. Man, that word means literally to be lifted or distinguished above the ordinary. Are you tired of the ordinary? You're tired of just the way things have been going and looking around and man, we need to get out of this. We need a change. Problem is many times when we need a change, we vote for somebody that says, or we look to somebody that says, "I can change you, I can fix you," and then they come along and we wonder, it's not wonderful, we wonder what happened. Wonder why. You see, that word wonderful has the word wonder in it. And this child that is born is a gift from God. And guess what? If you wonder how we're going to fix things, if you wonder how to fix your marriage, if you wonder how to deal with the problems that you're facing in your family, if you're wondering what to do with the boss and how to deal with the struggles that you're facing there, you see, if you're wondering about how to fix things financially, guess what? Got good news for you. This child that's born, he can handle it. He can handle it. You see, the problem is many of us have lost that sense of wonder. Remember when you were a child? Kids, you know this. You're like really excited about tomorrow morning, aren't you? And you know what? You've been waiting, and you're looking at the boxes under the tree and the presents and that are in the wrapping paper, and you're going, "What is that? I wonder what that is." And your whole being is excited and looking for what is that there under the tree. And guess what? Mom and Dad, they're excited too. They can't wait. It's not easy for them to wait for you to open that because they, you see, They want you to enjoy whatever that is under the tree. And I'll bet you it's something that you've asked for. It's something that you want. And oh, tomorrow morning when you come down those stairs or you come out to that living room and you gather around that tree and mom and dad, you got to wait, right, for everybody to get there, right? Man, that's so hard. You go around waking. Normally you want to sleep in, but you go around waking up brothers and sisters, everybody, anybody. Come on, let's get down there. And there you are sitting around the tree and you're looking. And mom and dad goes, okay, you can open it. And you're going, oh. And then suddenly you open it and you go, wow, I can't believe it. Oh, and you're thrilled and excited about that gift, about that toy, about whatever that thing is. That, you know, game or that Xbox or whatever. You know what? We've kind of, as adults, become pessimistic a bit and lose that sense of wonder. The excitement, the expectation, the anticipation, not of tomorrow, but the days in the coming year after Christmas, let's get back into the routine and, okay, come on, let's tear the tree down, tear the lights down, put everything away. Okay, yeah, let's go back to the depressing news, and we lose that sense of wonder. You know what? This child that was born, this son that was given, he wants to restore that sense of wonder, renew that sense of wonder. Because guess what? He can do wonderful, amazing things for you that you cannot do for yourself. He's wonderful. Have you discovered that yet? Have you given your life to him? Have you given him opportunity? Not only is he wonderful, and that takes the dullness out of life, but he is also a counselor. That takes care of the decisions in life. You know what? When you think of a counselor or talking to a counselor, what do you think of? Oh, man, I think of Dr. Phil. I watch him regularly, man. I like that stuff. Some of you may go, nah, I don't like a Dr. Phil. You know, I like a Dr. Laura on KFI. Listen, Pastor, when it comes to counsel, I'm an Oprah fan. I'm sorry. I'll pray for you. I'm not saying she's not doing some good, but she's very confused in her theology and her ideas about God. You see, the world, people, are always, when you have a problem and you talk to somebody, they offer you counsel. Question, how many times is the counsel, what should I do about my marriage? What should I do about my wife, my husband, my kids when they're in this situation? What do I do with my finances? How many times when you talk to people, you get like different counsel from several different people? Now, what does that do? Does that help you? It's like eeny, meeny, miny, moe. You know, which one should I take? Can I suggest to you that, you know what, going down to the local bar and hanging out with your drunk buddies isn't going to help you when it comes to counsel. Going to psychics, Miss Cleo's out of business. There's all kinds of therapy out there, and of course, they give you prescription drugs if you have anger problems. Listen, folks, there is an almighty God who is the wonderful counselor, and he has given you his word. And you need wisdom when you are dealing with these situations, and who better to go to than the one who created you? It's like if you need your car fixed and have a weird problem, you know, and you've got a Volkswagen, you don't say, hey, you don't take it down to the local Honda dealer and say, hey, can you fix this? You go to the one who made it, right? Now, they should be able to fix it. They're not always able. But you would think if anybody can fix this weird problem, they should be able to fix it, right? Listen, if your life is messed up, if you've got problems relationally and problems, you know, and need wisdom for the problems that you're experiencing emotionally, you know where you need to go? Here's where you need to go. You need to go to the wonderful counselor. You need to go to Jesus Christ. You need to open God's word and find out what he says. Here's what's wrong with this nation. We have turned away from that. And the further away we get from that, guess what? It's not going to get better. There is a wonderful counselor. You say, well, Pastor, you know what, man? That's nice for you to say. And I've even read some of the stuff that the Bible says. And I've tried to do it, but I just seem to lack the power. I don't seem to be able to keep things going. Well, you see, he's also the mighty God. You know what that speaks of? That speaks of what us guys kind of like, power. We like power, don't we? You don't go around telling people, hey, you know what? The new car I just bought, it is the crummiest, slowest, doggiest car on the road. Want to check it out? You don't go buy a new, you know, tablet you don't go buy a new computer and say, hey, guess what? I'm buying a new computer and it is running Windows Vista and a i3 chip. It's a great computer. Oh, and it's got a 10 meg hard drive. I mean, you're going, that's a gutless wonder. You know, you need power, right, ladies? You know, when you buy a vacuum cleaner, you don't go and say, hey, what has the least suction of all the vacuum cleaners? Because I don't want to rough up my carpet too much. What are you looking for? Hey, give me the most powerful. I want this thing to suck my dishes out of the dishwasher under in there. That's what I want. I mean, that's the kind of, I want one that really gets the dirt up. You want power. Well, guess what? You need power too. I need power. We can't do this thing by ourselves. We can't follow what God says by ourselves in our own strength. We can try. We can want to. We can be one that says, well, I'm going to, it's a new year coming up. I'm going to make a new plan. But you fail. Why? Because you lack the power to do so. Guess what? This one that is born is the mighty God. He has the power. In fact, the Bible makes it so clear that we are powerless without him that it says, apart from Jesus Christ, you can do nothing but go through the routine and repeat the failures and trade one sin for another and one addiction for another. You know what you need? You need Jesus to bail you out. He alone can give you the power. Will he be with me? Yeah, because you know what? He's the everlasting Father. You know what that means? He's a dad who's always there. He's a dad who always cares. He's someone when nobody else understands you, when nobody else pays any attention to you. Kids, you ever feel like that? You know, you're telling your mom and dad something and they're not listening and they're not paying attention and they don't seem to understand what, you know, you're going through. Hey, listen, there's somebody who loves you and understands. Even when dad gets too busy and distracting and even when mom's a little bit too busy, there's somebody that will always listen to you, that you can always talk to, that wants to hear from you. And you know what? He hears the prayers of a little child. You know, he's interested in you and you can always come to him and he'll pay attention to you. He'll listen to your every word because he cares about you so much. You see, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And this Father that we have is eternal. That means our relationship with him. You know, my father died several years ago. I miss him to this day. This Father is everlasting. He'll always be there. He'll be your strength. He'll be with you. He'll protect you. He'll get you through. You see, when nobody else listens or understands. And lastly, his name is the Prince of Peace. Everybody's looking for it. Rodney King coined it years ago, if you remember him, some of you. His famous television interview when the riots were breaking out in L.A., he said, can we all get along? Can we? Can we get along? You see, we need peace. People are clamoring for peace. They're crying out for peace. There's a lot of money spent trying to make peace in the Middle East, trying to make peace here in our own country among the different classes and races of people. The peace is what we need. How do we get peace? Well, there's several people that have a different perspective and answers. What we need is we need for real peace. We need to come to the Prince. Why don't we come to the Prince? To Jesus, the one who alone can bring peace. Because you see, here's the real deal. The outward turmoil that we see manifest in all these crazy things going on is the result of the inward heart condition. You see, we think that, well, it's in negotiations and it's in laws and in legislation. And you know what? You can't legislate peace in a person's heart. Peace is something you have on the inside. It's that satisfaction. It's that contentment. It's that a place where, you know what? You know you're cared for, protected, and loved, and provided for. You see, and you know everything's going to be all right. And guess what? Even in the midst of all the craziness right now as Christians, because of our everlasting Father, this wonderful counselor, this mighty God, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we can enjoy peace in the midst of perplexing situations. Because guess what? He is in control. He is the mighty God. He created heaven and earth. Guess what? He can handle your problem. He put you together. He knows how you work. He knows how you're wired. If you want peace, guess what? You got to come to the one who made you. You got to know the one who made you so that you can deal with the storms in life. So you can deal with the troubles that you face, because there's trouble in this world. In fact, it is the Prince of Peace who told us in the world you will have tribulation. You're going to have troubles. God doesn't guarantee you a life free from trouble. What He guarantees you is that He will get into trouble with you. You know, that means you'll never go it alone. He'll always be there to help you, to lead you, to guide you, to bring you through. You see, the announcement by the angel to the shepherds was glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. That peace on earth. People sometimes say, well, where is that peace? I don't see it. Well, when you read this in the context, it is peace on earth among men with whom God is well pleased. Are you living your life to please God? You see, it's as a result of people not paying any attention to Christ, not paying any attention to God and His Word. That is what is bringing the increase in violence and the unrest and the craziness on this planet. Jesus offers you peace in times of uncertainty, a peace in times of great difficulty, a peace that the Bible says passes understanding. And listen. Know this, He's in control of each and every situation. It says here, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. Now, there's a bit of space here in human history between this time this child was given and in verse 6, and the government, He sets up His government on planet Earth in verse 7. For over 2,000 years, we are waiting for the fulfillment of verse 7 when Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom on planet Earth. When he comes to set up his kingdom, you can be sure that there will be no more corruption. There will be no more terrorism. He will reign righteously as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But before taking the government on his shoulders, he first took the cross upon his shoulder. And then he died on that cross. Before he wore the crown of glory as King of Kings, he wore a crown of thorns. And gave his life to pay the price for your sin, for mine. Amen. You don't have to walk around living in guilt. You don't have to walk around living in depression because of your failure. You know what the Bible says? The key is to come to him and confess your sin. And guess what? He is faithful and just. People may not forgive you, but guess who forgives you always? And that is Jesus Christ. He will forgive you. And he will cleanse you of any and all unrighteousness. That's the kind of love he had. He went to that cross with you in mind. Now that doesn't mean that we have to wait to experience the government upon his shoulder, his rule in our lives. We can surrender our lives, and many of us have, to his rule and his reign and experience, you see, the result of his rule and reign, and that is righteousness. He becomes real to us. You see, he wants to show you how wonderful he is as he counsels you and floods your life with his peace that passes human understanding. His name, Jesus, that child that was born, that son that was given. One day, the Bible says, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You will call him Lord one day. You say, well, no, I don't know. I don't believe that stuff. I just was dragged here, you see. Somebody made me come, tweaked my arm. My mom said, we'll go. It's Christmas. Come on, you're going to go to church with me and then. And so you're here going, that first song was kind of cool. It rocked, you know, But now here's this pastor, and you know what, man? He's talking about stuff that I'm kind of experiencing. And you know what? Hey, God has brought you here. You may think that an accident had brought you here, that some pressure brought you here. And guess what? It's probably some prayer that brought you here. And it's not an accident. It's an appointment. Because guess what? God loves you. He loves you. Jesus died on that cross for you. Not this group. Oh, he loves this group. Don't get me wrong. But it's very personal. Jesus would have died on that cross if you were the only one that ever believed. Amen. He loves you. And he wants to fill your life with wonder. And you know what happens? When he does, other people look on. I know in my life, in fact, I've actually had school teachers, because I didn't do too good in school. I actually had a high school teacher show up and he couldn't believe that I was pastor in a church. And so he actually came to the service to find out what was going on. And you talk about filled with wonder. He's going, I can't believe it. Dennis Davenport, the loser, the guy that, you know, couldn't get it right, get his homework done, that, you know, I thought this guy's in bad shape, man. He's going to end up, you know, in jail somewhere. Here he is, a pastor of a church. I wonder at that. It blows my mind. You know what? I wondered at that myself. It blows my mind. But you see, that's what Jesus does. He takes your marriage that's a disaster, and as you give it to him and you give your lives to him, you people look and go, they wonder, what happened to you? As you give your life to him, people wonder, oh, what are you sniffing? What are you taking?
Where are you going to therapy? What's happening with you? Who's psyching you? You see, they wonder because what God's doing is wonderful. The movie, Wonderful Life. You want a wonderful life? You know what? You need to come to Jesus Christ tonight. The Bible says that if you call upon the name of the Lord, I don't care who you are. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care what a mess you've made in your life. God is offering the gift of life eternal, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of peace, the gift of power to change your life, the gift of counsel that will really heal and really work, you see, and bring life abundantly if you'll simply tonight come to Him. This child given out of love. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should what? Not perish. Not God's desire that you perish, that anybody wind up in hell. His desire is that you would have eternal life. A quality of life presently that is wonderful. A quantity of life that you would never die. That when you pass off this earth, you're with Him in glory in heaven. One day, what a great reunion that'll be for loved ones who have believed in Christ. Question, have you opened that gift of eternal life? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith in Him who will never leave you, never forsake you, always be there for you and care for you, who died on that cross out of love? He didn't just say, I loved you. He laid down His life and took what you deserve for your sin. You might not live in the depression and under the guilt, but you got to come to Him tonight. If you want your life to change. Any of you want to open up that gift? It's Christmas. It's time. Just as you, as parents, are looking forward, many of you, to your children, especially if you have little ones, opening that gift under that Christmas tree. You know what? You have a Father in heaven who is just as thrilled and goes, hey, I got this gift for you. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you open it up, man? I'm so excited. I want you to open it. What if your child tomorrow says, I don't want to open it. I don't want nothing from you. Heartbreaking, huh? Breaks God's heart, too. You need to come tonight. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to accept the gift that He has offered freely. How do you do that? First of all, recognizing you're a sinner, you don't have it together. Have you figured that out yet? Okay? If you haven't, come up and talk to me after. I'll help you. I hate to do that on Christmas, but I'm willing. You don't think you're a sinner and you think you got it together, man. Come and talk to me. You see, all you have to do is confess that you're a sinner. Then you have to be willing to change. Well, I'd love to change, Pastor, but I don't have the power. I didn't say you had the power. I've already told you don't. Are you willing to change? Are you willing to turn away from your sin and step towards Christ and give your life to Him? The Bible says if you're willing, guess what? To as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become sons and daughters of God. But it's up to you to receive Him. He'll give you the power you need to change. You make the choice, He'll make the change. Come to Christ just as you are. And tonight, if you haven't done that, you'd like to do that, I want to give you an opportunity to do so. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the faithful work of Your Holy Spirit in our midst tonight, Lord. I thank You for those, Lord, that You brought tonight who perhaps are in our midst that don't know You. Lord, I pray tonight that they would come, that they would give their lives to You, that they would not spend another year, that they would not spend another Christmas without opening the most amazing gift that they can ever open. And that is a relationship with the living God, their Creator, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder if there's anyone here tonight and you don't know Christ and you want to know Him. You've not given your life to Him and you want to say, you know, Pastor, I want that life you're talking about. I know I need to change my life and I've tried to clean up my act, but I can't seem to get it together. You know what? I want Jesus in my life. Would you pray for me? I'd love to do that. And if you would, if you want me to do that, I want you to lift up your hand wherever you are, and I want to pray for you. Anyone tonight, you don't know Christ and you want to know Him. You're not sure tonight that if you died, your sin is forgiven. You're not sure tonight that if you died, you'd have that hope of heaven. God is offering the gift. The question is what are you going to do? Are you going to kick it in His face? Or are you going to come tonight? Quit playing games and give your life to Jesus Christ. And leave here a changed man or woman with your sin forgiven and the hope of heaven.